Today, if you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verse 1, and also in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. A sermon that you see here that's titled Heart Disease, Heart Disease. John 14 and 1, you're familiar with this verse. We've all read this. Many have memorized it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then we look at Proverbs 23 and 7. In fact, I've made reference this many times. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. One of the most dreaded diseases in the world today is the disease we call heart disease. Heart disease remains the leading cause of death in the United States. In fact, heart disease death accounts for one in every four deaths, affecting significantly more women. No, it's just the opposite. Affecting significantly more men than women. That's true. That's just proved out. The statistics show that more men suffer from death from heart disease than women do. It's been estimated by the federal government's health CDC program that roughly 702,880 people will die of heart disease this year. That's incredible, isn't it? That's a lot of folks. 702,880 people will die. That means 1,925 people in America will die today from heart disease. Almost 2,000 people are going to die today from heart disease in the nation. That means that in just the approximate 30 minutes of this sermon, that 40 people will die in America from heart disease. This disease strikes the rich and the poor alike. It doesn't matter. It's no respecter of persons. In fact, the old ticker just eventually wears out and it just stops working. And when it gives out, then we're no longer here. Our lives are gone. But the verse that we've got before you in John 14 and 1, where Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. He's talking about a spiritual heart ailment. He's talking about a burdened heart, an anxious heart. He's talking about a lonely heart, a heart that aches with sorrow and trouble and things that make it heavy and full of sadness. All of us at times, all of us have troubled hearts. That's true, isn't it? We're talking spiritually now, emotionally. We have troubled hearts, burdened hearts. Money can't keep it away. Health can't keep it away. The fact is, even the best of Christians suffer from spiritual heart trouble. In the scripture, John 14 and 1, Jesus is urging his disciples to put their faith in him. He's urging you and me this morning to put our faith in him. It says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He's given us, if you would, if you're having heart trouble, if you're troubled in your heart, look to me, he says. I'm the source, I'm the help, I'm the strength you need. Believe in me. He's telling us, if we're listening this morning, you'll see it on this next slide. Let not your heart be troubled, because God is filled with love for you. I want to tell you how much God loves you this morning, right now. Let not your heart be troubled, because God knows what you're going through and he knows what's best for you. Let not your heart be troubled, because God reigns upon his throne, and those who trust in him will never, ever be defeated. I love that. We'll never be defeated because our trust is in him. Let not your heart be troubled, for if God be with us, who can be against us? What wonderful promises the Lord gives us when he says, don't let your heart be troubled. And then that second verse that we referenced in Proverbs 23 and 7, for as he thinks in his heart. What are you putting in your heart? Is it full of all the negative stuff, or is it the promises of God? What you thinking is in your heart, it says, so are you. You become that. Are you a person full of victory and hope and faith? Are you a person full of doubt and uncertainty and fear and a troubled heart? God is trying to tell us today, you need to put the promises of God, the hope of God, and his son Jesus in our hearts. Because when those things are done, then the troubled heart, all the issues of spiritual ailment of the heart are totally changed when we know Christ and we look to Him. You look at the Word of God, the word heart, the actual word heart, is used in a lot of different ways throughout Scripture. But I want us to look at the meaning of the heart that God's speaking of, spiritually speaking, from a biblical perspective. The biblical perspective is always the best, isn't it? You see folks in the world that seem so lacking, they don't have that biblical perspective. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, it says, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." When God looks at a man, He doesn't look at the color of his skin. He doesn't look to see what kind of clothes that person is wearing. He doesn't look at their social position or the money in their bank account. He didn't look at how big or small or thin or plain. He doesn't look at any of those things. Aren't you glad He doesn't do that? The Bible says that God looks upon the heart to see what's on the inside. He looks at your thoughts, your motives, and the intent of the heart. So today I want to just, everyone take just a minute and ask yourself this question. Is my heart right with God? Is my heart right with God this morning, right now? Perhaps someone here today has never invited Jesus into their heart as their personal Savior. Perhaps someone here has never actually been born again as Jesus instructed Nicodemus. Oh, you've lived a good life. Maybe you're even a member of a church. But you've never really had an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. Perhaps some are here today that you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. You've accepted Him as your Lord of your life, and you did that years ago. But today, your heart has grown cool, maybe even cold. And you no longer really feel the joy and the peace that you once felt in your heart as you served Jesus. Oh, you're faithful to church. You believe in God. You believe in Christ's atoning death. But your daily living is filled with everything but the things of God. You rarely read the Bible. You rarely pray. You rarely think about spiritual matters, except, of course, on Sunday. The Bible indicates that a great deal about the condition of the average person's heart, especially the heart of a person that doesn't know Christ. In Proverbs 6 and 18, the Bible tells us, a heart that devises wicked plans or imaginations. In other words, the Bible is telling us that our hearts, outside of knowing Christ, our hearts are full of evil and even evil thoughts. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 17 and 9, it says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It reminds us all why we need Jesus so desperately to change our hearts. The Bible's telling us the heart is deceitful. You cannot trust the heart outside of Jesus Christ. And Jesus gives some wonderful words to us regarding spiritual heart disease. Matthew 15 and 8, "These people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Listen to the words of Christ. He's saying, I'm paraphrasing what Christ is saying. Folks are just going through the motions. It's on their lips, it's coming out of their mouth, but their hearts are so far from me. There's a lot of different believers, folks that are faithful to the church, but with their mouths, they honor God, but their hearts are so far from Him. This morning, is your heart, is your real self, is it taken up with all the stuff of life instead of the things of God? Is it consumed with all the things of the world instead of the promises of God? Perhaps you have very little time every day to get alone with God, in prayer with God. Perhaps you spend more time watching television than you do praying, or reading the Bible, or reading Christian literature that could build up your heart and your spirit. There are perhaps some here today that you rarely have time for God or things of God, except for the hour and 15 minutes that you're in church on Sunday mornings. For some of you, there's no longer the burning desire to walk with the Savior. There's no longer that passion of heartfelt, tender love that you can feel that Jesus is pouring into your heart. You no longer have this desire to walk with Him, to be close to Him, to know Him, to serve Him. The Bible tells us that our hearts have grown dark. In fact, in Romans 1 and 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The Bible teaches that your heart is dark because your spiritual eyes have been blinded by the God of this age and by the enemy of our souls. Oh, I pray today that God would open the eyes of every heart in this room today. That every heart would be open to receive what God wants us. You know what the greatest stumbling block is for us to come into the kingdom of God, to be a part of the kingdom of God? It's not murder. It's not drunkenness. It's not drugs. It's not adultery. It's pride. Pride is the greatest stumbling block. More people stay out of the kingdom of God because they're proud. We don't like the ideal of humbling ourselves. We don't like the ideal of humbling ourselves and coming to the cross of our Savior and say, "Oh God, I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Savior." In fact, the Bible tells us that there are many hearts that are rebellious. Look at the scripture with me in Jeremiah 5 and 23. "But this people has a defiant and a rebellious heart. They have revolted and departed." Oh, I don't want to be part of that group, do you? I don't want to have a defiant and rebellious heart. I don't want to be revolting and departing. The Bible makes it very clear that hearts can be hardened. There's an old saying, you've heard this, that the same sun that hardens the clay is the same sun that melts the butter. You've heard that expression. When the gospel is preached, it will soften some hearts until they yield to Jesus. But it will also cause others to harden their hearts as they reject the gospel message. And it's possible. It's possible for you even here this morning. It's possible for you to harden your heart by delaying receiving Christ as your Savior. It's possible for you to harden your heart by delaying leaving your backslidden state and making a fresh new surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. It's possible for some of you who once loved God with all your heart that you've grown cool in your love toward Him, that your heart is not where it once was, full of that passion and that love of Jesus. To the point so that even when God speaks through His Word and through His Holy Spirit, that you no longer hear Him. You know, the Bible tells us that God knows our hearts. He knows our hearts. In Psalm 44 and 21, the Word tells us that, "Shall not God search this out? For He knows the secrets of the heart." He knows what is in your heart right now, this very moment. God knows. He knows what's there. He knows all your secrets. You cannot hide anything from God. He knows everything that's going on right now inside of you in your heart. The Bible says that He also searches the heart. Think of it. The great God of heaven is searching each heart in this place today. He's in there probing. But we're told in Jeremiah 17 and 10, it tells us, "I, the Lord, search the heart." I, the Lord, search the heart. The Bible also tells us that, I like this word, that He ponders the heart. Proverbs 21 in verse 2 in the Old King James, the Word says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts. Now, some other translations, the New King James and others, will say, instead of ponders, it says he weighs the hearts. I really like ponders because it sounds kind of Texan to me, that he ponders the heart. You can rationalize. You can rationalize that the way you're living, you can rationalize that the way that you're doing things and the direction you're going, that all is okay, because the scripture says every man is right in his own eyes. He thinks he's okay. He thinks he's right in his own eyes. But the Bible tells us that God does not accept our evaluation and our judgment. He doesn't accept it because he's weighing in. The Bible says that God ponders your heart. He weighs what's in your heart. He's meditating and evaluating what's in your heart. And as God ponders or weighs your heart, he weighs you by the law of conscience. What do you mean by that, Pastor? He weighs you by the times that your conscience spoke to you, the times that you rejected the voice of your conscience as the Holy Spirit was trying to break through by the Word of God and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He also weighs us, I believe, he weighs us by the life of Christ. And none of us can measure up when he weighs us by that standard, because we all come short on our own efforts. We come short of the glory of God. You know the scripture well in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. I was a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. Oh, Paul says, I'm the chief of all sinners. We're all sinners in the sight of God, except for that work on the cross by our Savior Jesus. And speaking of Jesus, the Bible tells us about the heart of Jesus. We talk about heart disease and spiritual hearts. The Bible talks about the shedding of the blood of Jesus. All the way through the New Testament, you had that expression, the blood of Christ. It's spoken again and again and again, the blood of Christ. It means that the heart of Jesus, in its compassion, in its love, the heart of Jesus bled on the cross for our sinful hearts. His pure heart, his perfect heart, his glorious heart, his loving heart, his tender heart, his compassionate heart, it bled on the cross for us. And when they put spikes in his hands and a spike through his feet, and they put a spear in his side near his heart, the Bible says his heart bled literal drops of blood for you and for me. Jesus did that for us. God said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He meant that without the death of Christ, without that death, there would be no forgiveness. There'd be no grace. There'd be no mercy. Because you and I have broken the laws of God. We deserve death. We deserve judgment. We deserve hell. But Jesus went to the cross and he bled and he died for you and me. He took our place. Aren't you thankful he did? Now God says, I commend my love toward you, that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says, he made him, speaking of Jesus, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. The perfect, spotless Lamb of God became sin for us on that cross. I have to admit to you that sometimes I'll ask myself, and maybe you do this too, I just say, well, God, was there some other way? Why did you demand the blood of your only Son for our sins? I'll tell you, I don't know that any of us can fully understand the depths and height of the love of God and what he did for you and for me. But we do know this. We know that in some mysterious, in some glorious way, God was reconciling mankind. He was reconciling the world unto himself at the cross through Jesus, his Son, and through his blood. The Bible bears that out again and again. Jesus bled and his heart was broken for you and for me. We've been talking about heart disease here this morning. Spiritual heart disease. And the Bible gives us an incredible promise. Here's that promise. That God will give you and me a new heart. He'll give us a new heart transplant. And we don't even have to go see the doctor to get it. If you'll come to Christ, if you'll come to Him and surrender your heart to Him, God will say, I'm going to take out that old heart. I'm going to put in a new heart. I'm going to put a new heart in. An old heart was never going to get the job done. God wants to give you and me a completely new heart. God doesn't just patch you up with stents. Some of us have gone through that program. That's a wonderful, marvelous work of medicine. I've got 3 stents. They've been in my heart almost 25 years this October, and I praise God for that. But God doesn't even bother with stents. He wants to get a whole new heart in us. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me, according to the Word of God. This promise to us in Ezekiel 36, 26 through 28. I will give you a new heart. And put a new spirit within you. I like that part, don't you? A new heart and a new spirit. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you. Oh, praise God. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. It'll just come naturally because the heart and the spirit are in tune with God. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people. And I will be your God. What a promise that is for us. A new heart, a new spirit, a new ideal, a new way of seeing and doing things because of the promises of God. A young American soldier had been serving his country at war in Afghanistan. He had lost a limb and part of his face had been shot away. All the family greeted him with loving embraces when he came home. But they seemed sad in his presence and they often would just leave him alone. Well, one day he called all the family in and he said, why is it that it seems like you avoid me? Why do you leave me alone so much? And his father spoke up. His father said, son, forgive us. We should be ashamed of ourselves, but you see, son, you're not as you were before you went away. Forgive us for acting the way we've been acting and help us. We'll get used to you. All of a sudden, the young man's face just lit up. And he said, Dad, is that all that's bothering you? Is that it? Sit down with me. And let me just tell you this story. He said, during the battle that I was in Afghanistan, I was out in no man's land. I had been cut down by shell fire. And I lay there while gentle rain fell on my face. My blood was mixed with the rain and the mud. And I laid there waiting, knowing death was coming. Then I saw someone walking toward me, and his garments were white as snow. He walked across no man's land as if it were a highway, and he came right over to the place where I was lying. And he lifted up his hands, and I could see they'd been wounded by nails. And when he spoke to me, his voice was like music, and he said to me, I am the good shepherd looking for my sheep. I am the king of all kings. I am the Lord of all battlefields. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the savior of all who believe. I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If you will open the door, I will come in. Then the young soldier said, in a radiant voice, he said, Dad, I let Jesus come into my heart. And he's in my heart right now. What does it matter if my body is not the same? If my body is not all here, someday he'll give me a perfect body. That is my hope and my Savior. What a testimony of a young man from the battlefield of Afghanistan. I'm going to ask Sherry and Mike to come on up to help me out as we close the service today. I want to just ask you, as you think of that story that I just shared with you, this young soldier, let me ask you, what do all these little issues of life matter if we have Jesus in our hearts? Let me say that again. What do all the little things of life that sometimes can be so annoying matter if we have Jesus in our hearts? Would you like to change the direction of your life this morning? Would you like to change what's in your mind and your heart and your affections? If you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus, this is the day for you. If you once loved him, but your heart has grown cool, you've backslidden, you become indifferent to the things of God, this is the day to change that. This is the day to come back at the feet of Jesus and express your love for him and to make it right. It's called regeneration. It means that God will give you a new heart, a new life, a new passion, new priorities, new ambitions, new energy, new outlooks, new faith as you surrender to him. Jesus, oh, Jesus is the only answer. He's the only hope. He's the only source to cure your spiritual heart disease. Are you willing to let him do that for you this morning? Are you willing to make him the priority of your life, the passion of your life, the Lord of your life? Are you willing to make that surrender to him today? If you will, he's ready and willing to give you the new heart that he wants to give you. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, I thank you for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the power of the message of the cross. I thank you for the power of your word. God, the gospel that reaches and breaks through the deception that can cause men and women's hearts to become tender. There's someone in this place today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would break through the hardness and the deception, and they'll say yes to you today. If there's someone or someones in this place that's known Christ, but they've backslidden, they've grown cool in their hearts, Lord, let them just come back to that passion and that first love. Let them hear your voice. Let them come back with that sincerity and passion to know you and love you and serve you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's an old song that we have. Many of you know it. It's a simple song, Into My Heart. I'm going to ask you to sing that song with me today. And let us just sing it and let the Holy Spirit touch our hearts as we sing, as Sherry leads us right now. Sherry?
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my
We're going to sing that song again in just a minute. You're here today. You know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You can feel that tug at your heart. You know God is reaching out to you for you to respond for him today. Don't hold back. Don't lose out on this chance to make it right. We're going to sing that song again. Sherry begins to sing it. As soon as she begins to say, into my heart, Don't sit there. Don't stay where you are. Stand up and step out. I'll meet you in the aisle. I'll take you by the hand. And you can pray that prayer of faith to receive Christ as your Savior. Or you've grown cool in your heart. You've drifted away. And you want to come back with a fresh, new commitment. We begin to sing. Just step out from where you're sitting, and I'll meet you in that aisle. And it'll be the best decision, the best day of your life. Let's sing it one more time. And with every head bowed and eyes closed, let's just sing it one more time and step out.
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart.
Jesus loves you, and you know He wants to forgive you of all your sins and be the priority of your life. Would you just pray that prayer with me? Father, I need you.